Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 27th on the west coast of the United States, and now October the 28th on the east coast and in the central time zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially those in the U.S. military, as well as on blogtalkradio.com, also around the world. Well, before bringing tonight's guest on board, a couple of things I want to mention here. I was on Drew Raines' Marines Disquisition yesterday. If you listened to last night's show with Dr. A. Drew Ott, we discussed many things about the disinformation that's going on out there in regard to the swine bird human flu. And the information that I've been coming up with recently is leading me to believe that there is probably a direct association with DynCorp, this company that we were investigating some couple of weeks back in regard to the overthrow of the local law enforcement agency there, and under the auspices of guarding a prison that's been sitting there, a brand new prison, after spending $20 million building a facility and nobody moved into it, and $7 million operating capital missing, and it opened up an international web of conspiracy, real estate fraud, more of it, more corruption, definitely ties to Big Pharma, who is promoting this swine flu thing. And usually, you know, you've heard the saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. It's becoming very evident to me that some of the people that are out there on the web trying to debunk the truth that's coming out about the danger of these vaccinations and the obsolescence of vaccinations, the fact that they're designed really to cause all kinds of health problems, and the affiliations that these alleged debunkers have with Big Pharma should set off alarms anyway. If you're using your brains when you're discerning the truth, you're using a small percentage of your brains. It should raise a question in your mind. Why someone will come out to attack those that are bringing the truth to you. Now, we're making that claim for obvious reasons, because we are bringing the truth. We're not interested in putting out disinformation. That's what these people do. Now, if these vaccines weren't dangerous, why are people dying from them? The people dying from the flu are getting the vaccinations. It's simple. I'm not giving the vaccinations out to anyone. They are. And they have their spokespeople, they have their disinformation agents out there. And when we do research on these disinformation agents, we find more of the same thing. Real estate fraud, bank fraud, foreigners living in their houses in California and New Jersey and Massachusetts and Connecticut and Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan, in Wisconsin, and Montana, and Washington State, Idaho, Utah, Oregon, Hawaii, pretty much all over the country. Florida's a real popular place for these people. And they happen to be associated with naval intelligence bases, often. They're in the vicinity of places where we see the mind control psyops going on, and where there's major international drug trafficking going on. And we know that the Navy is heavily involved in that. It's no secret. This is not the first time this topic has come up, especially on this show. It's on plenty of other shows. There are plenty of whistleblowers from the military who are telling you this. There are plenty of people who have written about it in books, in great books. And some of those people have been put in prison in an effort to silence them. Now, we're bringing the truth to you, and the best we know how. While I was on Drew Rain's show yesterday, a message came through that the editor at Rumor Mill News is looking for me, wanting me to be on the show, on her show, Ray Ellen Allen. And this is a person that posted an alleged 5-page letter, which is a compendium, a summary of my research, posted without addressing anyone in the letter and without signing the letter, alleging to have the full story on Barack Obama. And it was done in such a cheesy way, it's designed to discredit my research. And, you know, on occasion, I go back and I look at my research because there's so much there that I've uncovered that I have a hard time remembering some of these things. And I go back and I refresh my memory, or I go back to pinpoint a date I might be looking for, or I may be looking at something I might have overlooked, which leads me to another fact. And I do find other facts. I have more to write on that story. I could write more about John McCain. I'm working on the Hillary Clinton piece right now, and that will be out in the next edition of the Idaho Observer. Now, a tremendous amount of research goes on in the process of digging up these facts, and I can tell you I don't talk to any of these people. These people have nothing to say that I would want to publish. In fact, why am I talking about them now? Well, these people have the audacity to invite me to a radio show and put out a message on the internet saying that they're trying to get in touch with me, and they're using my research in the very letter summoning me. They're using my language as if it's their own. And I'm reading this stuff and I'm saying, wait a minute, this is not in quotations. Why are they quoting my work? Why are they literally taking my words and using them in their own sentences? It's quite obvious what's going on. So if you should happen to talk to anyone at Rumor Mill News, tell them thanks, but no thanks. And if they're listening, you've gotten the message firsthand. Now, that said, I posted an article this evening from Christopher Story, publisher and editor of the International Currency Review and other great books. His international financial reports are read around the world. And I have read many of them, and I post pretty regularly many of his news articles. And he's got one which contains a little piece referencing a recent article that Benjamin Fulford wrote about the Queen of England. And it's got information about Hitler in there. And then they bring up Rumor Mill News, who I just mentioned. And Christopher has a list of websites. This is interesting to read, because I'm pretty much in agreement with what he said about many of the websites that he's posted in this article. That many of them are CIA DVD operatives. I've had contact with some of these people, and I have to tell you, the contact hasn't been pleasant. Sometimes it's been on other people's radio shows. Some of these people have been on my radio show. Some of these people I would never have on my radio show because I wouldn't want to expose my listening audience to the disinformation that comes out from some of them. But the topic of last night's show and the website associated to Dr. Henry Nyman, Recombinomics.com, is one of those websites mentioned in the list of CIA, DVD, etc., diversion and confusion mongering interests for basically maximizing confusion. And all of this is done to hide the counterfeiting, the massive thefts, the Ponzi schemes, the fraudulent financial leveraging and hypothecation, and basically all the financial corruption that's going on worldwide. It's a very short article. It's worth looking at. Go to my website, directlightproductions.com. Go to Breaking Stories. It's the very last story at the bottom of that page. Take you to the link directly to the news article. Or you can go to www.worldreports.org, and it'll come up on the homepage. Discredited Offensive Against the British Monarchy is the name of that article. That said, let's bring on tonight's guest. He himself is a historian. He's a health scientist and consultant. He's also an herbalist, a fine musician, and my good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome back to Evident Footprints.
Hey, thank you, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning from New York.
Yes, it's you're in the Eastern time zone, so it is morning. It's morning for me, too.
Yes.
How have you been? It's been, a week or so?
Mm-hmm, pretty much. Doing well, Don. Thank you. All in all, keeping pretty busy with everything and keeping up with the current events the best I can. And all in all, feeling good. And the Lord is good, pal. And so because of that, things are always looking pretty good still.
Yeah. You're right about that. You know, I got to listen to two of my favorite talk show people today on Republic Broadcasting Network on the story behind the story, Dr. A. True Watts' show. He had on Ken Adachi.
Nice.
And Dr. Ott revealed a lot of inside information about the Mormon Church. It was very interesting, and they talked a lot about mind control, Montauk, the history behind that. Mm-hmm. And it was good to hear what he had to say. There was a lot of new information that you don't hear all the time. He's written a lot of this, put this to pen, we'll say. And he's had some inside experiences, which he's shared with me on a couple of occasions too. And I'm guessing the next time I have him on the show, we may bring up some of these topics. We also had the opportunity to talk about, and I don't know if you've seen this video, there's a video of a Finnish doctor basically describing the hoax of the swine flu pandemic.
And, no, I'm not familiar with that particular...
Okay, if you have a chance tomorrow night, I'm going to have Drew Raines as my guest, and I'm going to play the audio. It's something like 6 3/4 minutes of a conversation she has with a British journalist, and she basically lays out what went on at the Bilderberger meetings and what their plan is. She nails Henry Kissinger as the mastermind behind delivering this news to everybody. And she says there was a split between the countries who were going to permit this and the ones that were not. She says it's all contrived. She said there is no pandemic. There is no danger from any kind of flu beyond what is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says the danger is in the vaccines. And it's pretty compelling. This woman has really no reason to lie about it.
Well, that's how it is. I mean, there really is obviously no pandemic. Does anyone listening know somebody ill from the swine flu? Or do you know somebody that knows somebody that's ill from the swine flu? And the answer is pretty much no. And so how can there be a pandemic, Don?
Yeah.
And of course, therefore, why are they shoving all these shots on us? Like it's so necessary. Obviously, there's something more to all this. And of course, people getting ill from the shots, that's being reported, as you just stated earlier. So here you go. And so this is all information that we know very well. And it's good to hear others verifying it as well, substantiating it as well, especially those that claim they're on the inside. And that just supports what we've been saying all along.
Yes. Now, I don't know if you got to hear last night's show, but I brought out some information that Dr. Ott even heard for the first time. And that was on Dr. Henry Nyman and his founding of Ligand Pharmaceuticals in San Diego, California.
Mm-hmm.
And they licensed their research to be used in vaccines to all the major pharmaceutical companies. So he has a big interest in promoting the safety of the vaccine. Of course, I'm being facetious here now. I'm not saying mm-hmm. it's safe.
Sure.
But his...
They are.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Well, they won't put it in writing.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this, I'm going to play the video or the audio portion of that video tomorrow on the show so people can hear it firsthand for themselves, hear it in her words. But she comes right out and says specifically that there are people that stand to make millions of dollars. She mentions Donald mm-hmm. Rumsfeld, although she calls him Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's translating the meaning of the name.
I call him Rumpelstiltskin, but anyway.
Yes. I bet she wishes he had her hair, too. Or no, that was Rapunzel, wasn't it? anyway.
Yes, that's right, with the hair.
Yeah. She hits many of the main points, and she doesn't go into any deep technical stuff. She's talking about the political machination behind the scene, the fact that they had announced that they plan to take out at least 5 billion people. They plan to get rid of 5 billion people off the mm-hmm. face of the planet.
Yes. Right. Warfare. Yeah. Disease, pestilence, famine, which is starvation, those will be the primary methods that they've always deployed. And so, yes, Don, you know, that information is old, of course. I mean, we've been talking about that for a few years now, easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all very obvious that that's their intention. They're you know, these people running the governments of the world, in particular, our country, our government, are really just very cold-hearted, soulless beings. I mean, they're exploiting kids left and right. What more can you say about how evil they are?
Yeah.
They're exploiting kids left and right. The whole school system is designed to socially engineer them so that they come out of the schools and as mindless, selfish creatures, for the most part, with deviant behavior, because they're exposing them to all kinds of things that are immoral in a good, healthy culture. And so, you know, just from that observation alone, you know, if they're doing that, and this is how they are with kids, then how can you expect anything else about them that they do to be good? It's impossible.
Yeah. And you know, they threw this at us, both with the hope of making money and getting rid of a lot of people. But more than anything, it's intended to be a distraction because of the financial corruption that's going on. You see,
yes, sure.
When you have people worried now about whether or not they're going to get sick, they don't pay attention to things like what's going on in the stock markets, what's happening on Wall Street, the banking, the corruption, the bailouts, all of this stuff.
You know, clearly a distraction. It's like a fight, Don, and you're getting a 1-2, 1-2 punch constantly. You know, you feel the one jab, and then next thing you know, you get another one. So you forgot about the previous one because you're feeling the current one. And so it's definitely a technique for distraction and keeping us off other hot topics that they should be getting grilled on, and that is definitely the economy, the lack of any kind of industry, any kind of motivation to get industry going again in our country, and the taxes and the expense of living just getting out of control, and then a bunch of crooks getting loans from our government without being accountable for it. All of that is hot and very criminal activity. So sure enough, they're keeping us distracted with the next fear of a pandemic from bird flu. And so no question about it, that's all in their strategy. As they continue to keep us off balance, confused, dazed, while they just pull the rug out from under our feet as fast and as quick as they can when that timing is just right for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They're plundering the dollar. I mean, and society, all of the country's assets, the public assets. Of course, they've always felt that they're theirs, you see, because they've been running their mind control programs in the schools, so they feel that the schools belong to them, though we paid for them.
If anybody has entitlement, it is them. A sense of entitlement, it is them, that's for sure. They feel that what they're doing is for the best interest of the whole somehow, which is a very warped viewpoint that they could have, knowing this is what they're doing to achieve it. And all in all, the their behavior is just blatant, and it's clearly, I don't know how much more obvious it could be to anyone that, you know, ever since the turn of the 21st century, you think, well, we're the best ever. Look how great we were through the 20th century. Things are only going to get better and better. And all of a sudden, things start falling apart left and right. Everything just starts going downhill. It's tanking. Within 9 years, our country is totally topsy-turvy, nose-diving, plunging towards the ground. And this cannot be just random chaos. It's highly organized.
Oh, yeah, it's orchestrated. I don't know if organized is the right word. I understand what you mean. They planned it.
Don, when you read the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, which is really what Karl Marx did with the Communist Manifesto, he basically just took the basic tenets, and summarized it and had it formatted into a brief, more of a brief, and that's what the Communist Manifesto actually is. And you read those protocols, and it's verbatim. Everything, paragraph by paragraph, is word for word exactly what we're going through right now. That's quite organized. Mm-hmm. So that's an old document.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's written in several other languages, too, not just English.
Yeah, I think English is pretty much the latest of the translations.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not that I even want to spend a whole lot of time on all this. It seems like we could talk every show. We could talk about the financial corruption, the real estate fraud that's going on, which is being used basically to cripple American society.
Looting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about what it does to the family. Yeah, and you're talking about a family. The average family is fractured at one end or another because someone in the family has lost a job,
yeah,
or the kids are having problems in school and they're trying to ramrod vaccinations down the parents' throats, threatening them with criminal or civil prosecution,
yeah,
and fines if they don't get these.
That's outrageous.
And really, this is all being done illegally. You've got the long-legged Mac Daddy that can't even produce a driver's license, signing all these documents, and everybody is playing this game like, it's a game. It's all it is. I mean, when you stop and think about it, they're all shirking their oaths and their responsibilities and their duties.
It's just how organized they really are, you see, Don, because everybody, like you said, everybody's just acting like this is all lawful and normal government behavior here in our country. And of course it isn't, but they keep the way they just come off when you listen to commercial mainstream news on the boob tube or radio. And it's listen to IRN news. You just listen to IRN and GCN. I crack up. It's so Big Brother.
Oh, I know.
you know, you could see him in the, you could see him reading off their teleprompter in their little desk in the gray attire, head to toe, all gray, looking like good comrades as they read off the propaganda. And when you hear it, it's like, wow, how pathetic how they just sell it to you and make it seem like everything's okay. It's all normal.
But, and I wait for them to go into an old episode of the Tennessee Ernie Ford Comedy Hour or the Amos and Andy show. You know, it's so dated and corny.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I'm amazed when I hear that I can't believe they're there, but somebody's paying them to present it exactly the way they do. There's a director overseeing it all, and that's what they want. And it's Big Brother. I mean, it's just like communist or Nazi country where they're just reading that news over the radio to you, and it's all propaganda crap, and they're presenting it in a style and a tone that makes everything seem good, at least normal, natural. And that's definitely mind control activity right there, for sure.
Yeah.
But Don, you know, no question about it. I mean, I have quite a few cases where, as it turns out, health issues due to they're under stress. And what kind of stress? Financial, for sure. And these good for nothings have sold us out, and everybody with a lot of financial burdens, raising a family, got your house, and all the burden, financial burdens that entails, and to know your job is questioned, your hours are cut back, or you have no job, and trying to make ends meet and keep the kids raised still in a good, balanced, healthy environment. That's the ultimate challenge anyone could have to deal with. And it's these traitor scum that are causing all this for no other reason than they just want to have this global empire where there's the elite running the world, there's only so much of a population under them, and they're all peasants, serfs, slaves.
Yeah. You know, when I think about, like, what you were just mentioning about stress, and you listen to the average individual that's really just coping with day-to-day life. They're not putting their head out on a chopping block to state a higher truth that the powers that be don't want to be heard. You want to feel stress, do that for a couple of weeks.
Right.
But there's really no reason to be stressful because you begin to see through all of it. You begin to see it for what it is. And when you get your mind off of this obsession of about your material status, how many things you have, you know, and all the things that you have that you haven't paid for, and all the things that you'd like to have that
These circumstances cause many of those people in that situation to reassess and reevaluate exactly their priorities with materialism. And, of course, many of them realize I better start unloading a lot of stuff that I really don't need, but I need the money I can get from it to keep my family going.
Well, you're describing the awakened individual. You're not describing the majority.
That's right. That's the thinker.
Yeah, and I'm not really saying that, those people that are in that bind are not honest or they're apathetic about that. Their whole focus is on that. And I guess in a sense it serves a purpose. If that's their life's mission, as far as they recognize it, then that's their life's mission. Who are we to judge them for that?
Mm-hmm.
However, when they complain about not having more, and they don't realize that the way they're going about trying to get it is really part of the game, and it's not what reality is.
Well, for those that are caught up in the system, not realizing that the system they're caught up in will destroy them. It's a rat race, and the rats are winning, and only the rats will win. So the best thing to do is step out of that rat race and don't even participate the best you can.
In the end, you don't take any of it with you.
And for those that are accumulating a lot of material things that, no, you can't take it with you, but if you have a family done and you're doing it sensibly, you're not just being greedy for the sake of materialism, just to have, everything you can, but you're acquiring materialism that's good, it's quality, it's something that you can pass down through the family. That's all, that's all sensible. And so it's just a matter of having the right priorities, and these conditions today will cause all the smart people to realize that right away. Prioritize what you really need, what you really don't need. And when you have a family, what the wife and the kids really have to have and what they really don't need. And then, of course, me sacrificing even more so that they could have what they need. All of that is going to be just common strategy from here on out. And until the day comes when the Americans take our beloved government back, our country back into the hands of good people, honest people, people with integrity, so we can get this country back on track. And then the middle class will thrive again. And so until that time comes, this will be the norm strategy that all the smart people will deal with daily as we try to, make ends meet and adapt and adjust to the rapid changes that these controllers are going to throw at us as they try to firmly establish once and for all their commie Nazi UN, one world government, one banking system, one religion, one currency, but of course, cashless, electronic, and that's looming right around our heads if we don't really manage somehow to cause them to fail at the very end, so they can't really launch it.
Yeah. While you're talking, I'm thinking about what's going on, let's say, like in New York, what's going on in the stock markets and the banks and these bank failures. Well, the banks are failing for an obvious reason, the same reasons the rest of the economy is failing. It's all done out of thin air. There's nothing substantial. And I referenced Christopher Story's article. He's mentioning from a multiplicity of sources that there have been some arrests that have occurred with some major banks. Some of these bank directors or managers or I don't have a list of the names. I don't know that he has the list.
There should be a whole lot of bank arrests.
But you see, people look at that. Well, if the banks are failing, that means the economy is failing. Well, this economy was a magic trick. It was an illusion.
Yeah, for the last, for the last 20 years.
For the last 96 years.
well, I mean, when the Federal Reserve dollar or note as a counterfeit dollar was firmly established in 1933 under commie FDR, yes, that was really the beginning. But see, Don, we had solid industry, manufacturing, entrepreneurial activity everywhere. And that was really all the way up into the end of the 80s.
Yeah.
And then they started rapidly offshoring. And then they used to to undermine the middle class, to wipe them out, they started offshoring. But at first they started offshoring, you know, the minuscule type jobs where they say, well, you know, that's really not a type of job Americans want anymore because we're so much more advanced, high-tech job related. And so Americans said, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And then next thing you know, more and more, more and more. Then all through the 90s, it was the gates were opened wide and there was a flood of high-tech middle-class jobs going abroad to slave commie countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that whole impetus there, you had I'm sorry, Don, I just went off on a tangent. I forgot the point I was going to make on that, but you'll remind me.
Well, I wasn't finished yet. I was going to make a point that the issue with all of this is the agreement, the Basel I agreement, then Basel II and Basel III, which we are not in compliance with. And as a result, the rest of the world is dumping dollars. And so we have no one that's actually interested in paying with dollars or investing in dollars. Or investing in anything backed by dollars,
right, Don?
And
sure, and that's means a that spells a lot of trouble for us as the United States.
Well, the point about Basel II and Basel III is you're talking about gold-backed currencies. Now they've stolen the gold here. This is this has come up time and again.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone doubts that this is true. Recall 3 years ago, I started, and you know this, Michael, I started going on the air talking about the trillions of dollars being stolen. Now they throw the term out there like it's a newfangled clothespin to hang your laundry out on the line in the backyard.
As far as the gold supply, it looks like they looted Fort Knox, and we really don't have any gold anymore. It's all in London, so it's all interesting, and but for us as Americans, we have to make sure the next we get a legitimate, lawful currency, constitutional dollar reestablished in our country, and that's all we want. We definitely don't want to get involved with this global crap, and no other country does either, of course. And that's the way God wants it. Independent countries with their own particular, especially in the Western civilization, Europeans. Mm-hmm. And with their own particular abilities and specialities. And then, of course, the new kid in the block, United States of America, with a total unique approach with the Constitutional Republic and real entrepreneurial renaissance kind of activity at the turn of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And you did trigger my thought that I wanted to make a point on, because when they started the exodus of the middle-class jobs, Don, by the early 90s, when they really opened up the gates all through the 90s, simultaneously now, it was obvious, you see, what's going to hold the economy up? More and more people are going to be losing jobs. The economy's going to start to tank. So to offset that, what did they do? They created the Ponzi scheme in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, real estate just started going up year after year, year after year, enticing people to want to buy it, thinking, well, if it went up this much in the last 5 years or 10 years, boy, I'll buy it now at this high exorbitant price, but in another 5 to 10 years, I will double my profits as well. And so they got lured into that, but everybody really observing realized, hey, there's no real wealth here, people. This is all just bankers investing now heavily into this market, propping up the values, but it's all phony. It's not real or legitimate, and it's gonna like a bubble. The term everybody knows now. It's gonna be a bubble, and it's gonna burst one day. And that day isn't that far down the road, 10, 15 years, and here we are with that.
Yeah, and you know the oil boom that was manufactured in the mid 80s. It actually began much earlier than that, but in the 1980s they stopped drilling oil and they used this absolutely pitiful excuse that it cost more money to drill oil here in America. And so they couldn't afford to take the oil out of the ground. They couldn't produce oil and pay the people here, the mm-hmm. American workers. So therefore, they capped off the wells and stopped drilling altogether and bought foreign oil. Well, that was a lie. We know that was a lie. That was how many years ago now? Almost 25 years ago that occurred, and they're still capping off wells
mm-hmm.
around the world.
Yes.
What they failed to tell us is that the Saudis, for example, in exchange for having the Americans and the British and the Dutch oil companies help them set up their refineries and teach them how to get the oil out of the ground, and they became very wealthy. They got them to invest in all of their bogus treasury certificates.
Yes, they got suckered.
And like they did when they got rid of Pahlavi, the Shah of Iran, when they murdered him, that was the Rockefellers' way of getting out of paying him the money they owed him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now they pulled the same trick or the same stunt on the Saudis. August of 2008 was the 30 years of those certificates. Isn't that interesting how
yes,
oil went down in price? You see, they couldn't sell their oil for a big profit, even though they say that it costs 50 cents a barrel for the Saudis to produce oil. 50 cents to get a barrel's worth of oil out of the ground.
I think, Don, it's actually, if I recall right, it was 50 cents to even, the total cost even to get it here.
Well, that's quite possible, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's quite a profit margin.
And just before that happened, it had just inched over $150 a barrel, if you remember that, last fall, about a year ago.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And,
we're all paying for it at the pump.
And then it came down. Lindsey Williams was on the show and had mentioned that it was, got word it was going to go down to $50 a barrel, and then it went down to $40 and 30 something.
All so quickly, you know, and yet the price always kept going up every time we got close to another holiday, Memorial Day, or then Independence Day, or then Labor Day, and then Thanksgiving and Christmas. Price just keeps going up and up around the holidays, or winter's coming around, and as soon as that cold weather started to come in, well, price goes right up. And then they get questioned, how could it go up? Well, you know, we because of the cold weather, there's more demand, and therefore, when the demand naturally goes away, the prices don't come down so quick. They go up overnight, but they don't go down overnight.
Michael, in 2007, I had an oil worker call into my show, and he described thousands of barges parked out in the Gulf
Florida?
Of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The Gulf of Mexico, and I asked, why are they parked out there? He said, they're all loaded with oil. He said, they're avoiding taxes.
Is that, avoiding taxes, huh?
Yeah, they're avoiding paying the taxes on you know, all the fees that they have to pay when those actually come onto land. When
they import. Geez, I didn't think we're charging import duties anymore on any foreign stuff, Don.
So,
they're just charging us taxes for making things here in the U.S.
Yeah, so they sold us, you know, this ruse that there was an oil shortage. We had find in the Green River region in Colorado, 2 trillion barrels of shale oil. And they said, it's difficult to get that out of the shale. But they found it, and they were able to measure how much it was, and then what did they do with the Alaska pipeline when BP bought it? They said, the pipeline has rusted out. We have to shut it down. But did it get repaired and turned back on? No.
Well, apparently we can't get our own oil from Alaska to this day yet. They do have some lines open feeding it to Japan and China. But we're not allowed to get any of our own dirt cheap oil. But They'll sell it cheap to the Japanese and Chinese.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So when it's $150 a barrel, do you think they can afford to pay the guys? Back to that time, they said it cost us in Texas $18 a barrel.
And you know, Don, you know what's interesting when you really look at it? How do these few elite people have the right to own all of this resource that belongs to us? It's in Alaska. It's in Colorado.
To God, really?
Yeah, sure. We're just the custodians. But yeah, it doesn't belong to a few bankers, Rockefellers. How can it? It should belong to all the people of Colorado,
yeah,
all the people of Alaska.
Yeah. Michael,
it's their resource.
Michael, we have a caller on the line here. And,
great.
Would you like to take a call?
Sure. Great.
Okay. Let's see. We have Jelani Assar from Atlanta on the line. Jelani, am I saying your name correctly?
Yeah. And congratulations on that. I was surprised.
I have a question. Do you have a relative who is a famous actor by any chance?
Yeah, I do. How'd you know that?
I'm a researcher and an intuitive. I have to know those things. He's actually one of, do you mind my sharing his name with the listeners?
Oh, no, that's not a problem.
He's one of my favorite actors, for a variety of reasons. And he's a pretty cool dude. He does some radio spots on BBS radio.
Really?
So your full name then would be Jelani Assar Snipes?
It's Jelani Assar Dubois Snipes.
Dubois
is a mother's last name.
Oh, okay. and so you're the son of Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, cool. I'm glad. How long have you been listening to Evident Footprints?
This is my first time listening in.
Oh, really?
This is my first time listening in, yeah.
Well, what do you think so far?
Well, I like it. I like it a lot. I assume that you are typically always on, and then you have people call in and you'll have a conversation with them. Is that how your show typically goes?
Well, this is talk radio. We do welcome calls. We don't always get a lot of calls. People say they like listening to the vibe and the information but we do get calls. Yes.
Well, I was speaking primarily, you speaking with, like, I'm not sure who the fella is that you're talking to right now.
I'm not either, so don't feel bad.
No, I don't even know.
Now, his name is Michael Anthony. Michael Anthony. Michael's a frequent guest on the show.
Hi, Jelani.
Okay. How you doing, Mr. Anthony?
Fine, thank you, sir.
Michael Anthony.
So do you have a question or a comment?
A quick comment to Mr. Anthony. And I have some questions, some very important questions after that. You had said that, Mr. Anthony, you had said that they feel that they're doing what's in the best interest for the whole, and you think that this is obviously a warped viewpoint. And I just think that's an excellent, excellent point to make, because I was having a discussion with my mother and my grandmother recently, and I was saying, you know, what if these people think of themselves like, you know, you think of me as your son, or a father thinks of their son and really, really sees the people as something that they're very, very connected to and they truly care about, and they really feel that they must keep information away from their child because they're not prepared for it, and they must kill off a part of their child because they believe that they're sick, or just really just making decisions for us as if we were their children.
Or just a resource.
That's a whole different dimension.
Yeah, it does. If I can make a comment on that, what role then does God play?
Exactly.
Assuming that you know that there is a creator that created the universe, what role would that God play?
They are clearly trying to play that role.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I feel as well.
And they're very warped, and yeah, it's they their scheme is the ends justify the means. And of course, that's a sick mind, because you'll never get a good result if you do anything to get that result. And whereas when the means justify the ends, now you're working in harmony with God, because you're taking approach on whatever your aim is. You have the right approach where you're going to do things correctly and properly within the natural order of things, where it's good, it's benevolent, it's not totally selfish. And unfortunately, those running our government and the rest of the world are just totally contrary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If I can make a comment about that, God, if you know God, or when a person knows God and communicates with God, God basically says the same things to us personally that he says to us through all of his creation.
Right.
His creation is based on truth, and you just look at nature. Nature, without man's interference, takes care of itself very well, doesn't she? The animals seem, they have problems. They are going through their own experience. But by and large, you know, you listen to a large flock of birds that may be sitting up in a tree, or by necessity camped out on a power line or a telephone line an hour before sunset. And they're singing and they're talking to each other and they're sharing their experiences of what they've done all day, where they've seen food, where there's water. Maybe they met, a creature of the opposite sex, and they're sharing their excitement. And if you pay attention to nature, those who do, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've seen this for yourself. You've heard this. You witnessed this.
You see, now God's into individuality as men, as creatures that are known as men. We're individuals. And that's the way God likes it. But you see, these controllers don't want individuality. Now, if you ever work in a big corporation, for example, like IBM, you sign papers when you become an employee where any invention, any great idea, IBM owns that. And so prior to the growth of these big corporations, our country was laden with entrepreneurial activity. People competing in a healthy way for the best idea. Who's got the best can opener? Who's got the best ice cream? And in technology, who's got the best method of electricity generation or locomotion? And so everything was looking so phenomenal for our country because of that entrepreneurial activity, where ideas were flourishing and competing against each other to see who could perfect that idea and give it to the people. But then the controllers through the corporations, they didn't want that. So now there's no entrepreneurial activity. There's no individualism. Everything's collective, communal, communistic. And that stifles growth and productivity. And a healthy, strong, robust civilization requires that. And they know that, of course, and so that's why they pulled the plug, so we can no longer develop that way.
The point I was making, Michael and Jelani, is that God provides for his creatures, all of his creatures. And
yes, absolutely does.
And what has happened to us is we have been told that we have been separated from God, that we're being punished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
a reason,
you know, that's
being
all part
here
of
to
it.
Be punished, you see.
Sure.
And they have to devise devices like this to control society, to keep us in the dark, so to speak. Isn't that interesting? God is light, but they keep us in the dark.
Because they're counterfeiters.
Yeah.
They're the opposite.
And to be God, they cannot mimic God. They can, you know, it's like doing a cover version of a record. You can only copy it. It's never the original. Doesn't mean you can't come up with a creative way to reintroduce a song. And in the same sense, they're trying to reinvent creation by but they can only do the opposite, because they have to go through God if they're dealing with the light.
See, Don, everything you said is the ultimate end of all those various means that they use to manipulate and mold us and shape us the way they want us, which is really a dumbing down. That's mm-hmm. what it really is.
Yeah.
It's all, the end result is all about no individuality, no, and therefore no real creativity anymore. And without that, you'll never have a great country, a great civilization. And they know that. They don't want that.
Yeah.
And so we
well,
have to focus
on... Well, if I can make a point.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, it's very interesting to me that I feel like if these leaders, our leaders, would do things that are detrimental to the people that they're leading, then it's a very suicidal type of ideology that they're operating under.
Genocidal.
And I feel like, excuse me?
Genocidal.
But the thing is that
genocide.
They're part of the collective. They believe that they're individuals and disconnected from the collective, and that's the only way that you can make a decision, the type of decisions that they're making. How could you kill off an entire group of people unless you are not part of that group of people? As long as you're disconnected from it, then there's no limit.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just interesting to me.
Their Achilles heel, so to speak, is based in the fact that they themselves value what they want us to value, and that's the material aspect of existence.
Exactly.
It's materialism serves a purpose.
I'm not
discounting its importance here, because if we didn't have material things, we wouldn't have bodies, we wouldn't have homes, we wouldn't eat, we would exist in another place. Obviously, the requirements of consciousness require us to be here going through these experiences, right?
Yeah.
Materialism is good. I mean, our bodies are material.
Yeah. But
our bodies are good.
Yeah.
Without our bodies, we wouldn't be here talking right now.
Yeah. The problem with it is they do not wish for us to know who we really are, you see.
Yeah.
They don't want us to be able to express or to manifest our true power, because then they are like us. They're nothing. They're nothing, or they are sheeple. They are the goyim. They are the cattle that they call us, you see.
They're raising us like that, that's for sure. But if we get back to our original mode of living in this country with individuality, see, we're all independent. And we don't really rely on a whole lot except God, our creator himself. And then we rely on him in a sense that, Lord, I'm willing to bust my butt and make a living, so please help me find a decent job to start with.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we find that the Lord, and we say, thank you, Lord. And then we get on our way, our path, we start climbing a ladder, we start earning our way through life. And we don't have that anymore. We don't, and just the tremendous activity with creation, ideas, new innovations. We don't see it anymore. And yet, there's so much talent out there. Tons of talent, because we're all created by a great being. But all that talent has been muffled, stifled, boxed in. It doesn't, and the plug pulled on it, so they don't even know what they're really connected to. And that's exactly the way these, I would call them unleaders, Giuliani, I would call them unleaders, and that un is really UN.
mm-hmm. Giuliani, I'd like to ask you a question, if I may.
Sure.
Okay, you stumbled across this program, or this show. Actually, I call it a show, not a program, because mm-hmm. I'm not programming anybody. it's a show, okay? You stumbled across it. How do you think that came about? Was that accidental, or do you think it might have been divine providence? What's your thought on that?
Well, I mean, to me, everything is part of my journey. So whether it's really up to me whether I, to what degree I say it's part of the divine providence or synchronicity or part of the flow. So, I mean, I'm at the point where I feel like everything is everything that I'm receiving and experiencing is necessary for my highest evolution. And the funniest thing is that I really I was listening to Dr. Horowitz, who was on right before you.
Mm-hmm.
And I clicked and I listened to him, and then one of the guys that works with BBS named Seth, he said that I might like to listen to this guy named Don Nikoloff. I said, okay, well, I'll listen to it. And I just started listening in, and I called in to see if I could ask you a question, because I liked what you were talking about, and I started thinking of things. So, yeah, I mean, it works. It fits in.
Okay, so you came upon this show via our show's producer, sound engineer, and the network's webmaster, we could say. And, isn't it interesting how when you get people who work together or people who communicate together, they're drawn together, or they create something larger. Michael mentioned independence. And they're, the system here on the planet is dependent. They have tried to make us totally dependent upon them. You see, then we become silly putty.
They can
make us whatever they want to, but maybe the key is for us to become interdependent. In other words, recognize
each
other.
That's right. We're independent as a people, but interdependent within our country for sure, relying on each other the way it really is meant to be. And son of a gun, boy, how much nicer things would be if we can get back to that.
Well, we're on our way. It's all part of the journey. Because, I mean, even as things collapse, that just means that a new world is coming through. It doesn't necessarily have to be inherently negative or inherently positive. Because as all things grow and die, I mean, the only way that you can even grow in muscle is to rip up the muscle that you have as you're lifting weights and working out. So, I mean, it seems that in order to come to any new state, you would need to break down or at least change the relatively old one. That's all true.
Change is going on all the time.
As far as the country goes, we're at a critical crossroad here. And, the United States as a constitutional republic is very unique. I mean, look, we're the only country that never had a king since Israel of old. That's what we're dealing with here. That's how big it is and innovative and so unusual, and so they're trying to destroy that. Where the people in a constitutional government, a republic, are the government, they're trying to destroy that, and they're close to succeeding. And if that happens, the greatest potential this planet's ever seen for a truly free people that can bring a real golden age civilization into fruition will be totally extinguished. That's what we're dealing with here. And so, yes, we're going through a transition. It's part of life, death, and life cycles. That's how it is. But we got to make sure that what dies here is the bad and not the good. And the good is preserved and then re-blossoms, re-buds, so we can get it back on track into a positive direction again.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I have, based on what Mr. Anthony just said, one of my questions is that it's basically about, just considering the fact that all leaders are basically like the essence or the focus point, the reflection of those who they're leading. And considering that our leaders are leading us to this place that it just sounds, like you said, it's just stifling all individual creativity, freedom, and thought. How is it that we raise awareness that the fact is that in order for any changes to occur within the leadership, changes must occur within the individuals that the leaders are leading?
Absolutely.
That has to be the most important point.
That is a frequent topic on this show, and that the word that you just described is responsibility.
Right. The old saying, the people who have the government they deserve, is really how it is.
I agree with that. We have learned to understand the word responsibility as a judgment, as if there is a meeting out of a sentence. and a pronouncement of guilt followed by a penalty.
Right.
Okay? And that's the legal system. You see, we're operating under a legal system, but we're not operating under God's laws. We're operating under these dark laws that have the intent of forever pulling us further away from the Creator in our consciousness, in our awareness, and in our responsibility. And for any group of people to get along and be what they are intended to be, and we are all God's children, the worst thing we can do is disconnect ourselves from the Creator. We are given a series of choices at every moment of our lives. We always are making choices, but we're making the majority of them unconsciously. It's when we make them with sense and reason and awareness, consciousness, that we will begin making the correct choices, and then our leadership will reflect that. But such a powerful people that would be operating in full consciousness would not be in need of a leader. They would be the leaders.
Okay, guys, let me, if I can just expand on that real quick, and I'll give you, I think I can really give a nice picture of what we're dealing with here. You see, up to modern times, people were always struggling just for food and shelter. Unless you were wealthy and you had luxury time for other things, everybody else was food and shelter, and there was no time for anything else, just struggling to survive. So all of a sudden now, a means of creating more luxury time for more people comes about in a constitutional republic government format. And our country gets blessed, and we get a middle class, whether it's lower middle or upper middle class, but a people, a segment of people, a good percentage of people within that country that have more luxury time than any people anywhere else in the world. And what happened was that luxury time in general got squandered more in our last so many decades than previously. It got squandered, wasted away. Instead of using that luxury time for developing that spiritual nature, to develop that closer rapport with the Creator that's obviously present and benevolent, and therefore feeding on it and pulling more of that power into our personal individual lives as well as our country as a whole, which could then propel us further into a golden age, we neglected that. And we allowed ourselves with our luxury time to get caught up in vices instead of living virtuously.
Yes, we learned to become consumers.
Very materialistic.
Yeah.
And so that's the key to it all. Using our luxury time in more virtuous, constructive ways, again, at the individual level. And when enough of a percentage of the people are doing that properly, finally, guess what? Government's back in our hands with good people, people with integrity, and our country's back on track going in a positive direction, and a golden age is looming ahead, finally. And that's really what it's all about, guys.
That's a great explanation, too. Jelani, what, if you don't mind my asking, what is the nature of the work that you do?
Well,
interestingly,
my life work?
Your life's work, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, it's kind of funny that you asked me this because I found this out, you know, not too long ago. It was just a very huge A to Z type of awakening for me. And part of my awakening was just finding out what I'm here to do because, you know, I was so confused with everything. And basically, I didn't want to do the whole corporate scene and, you know, everything just didn't seem like it was really fitting me. And once I finally would find out what I'm here to do and what feels best for me, I felt a lot better and I'm now feeling, you know, very, very on track. And basically what I found out is that I'm very good at bringing, like, philosophical concepts or universal concepts that concern every individual regardless of who you are. Taking these huge, you know, relatively huge concepts and bringing them down to earth so that the average, quote-unquote, average individual can understand them and make use of them. Spiritual concepts, we were talking about consciousness, things of that nature that, you know, you even say consciousness, it already, even if it doesn't scare somebody, or make them think that it's something that they couldn't understand, it's still one of these words that as soon as you say it, it automatically has a particular connotation that is more wide and more airy and requires more energy. And just taking that type of concept and bringing it down to earth so that it's not necessarily something that needs to be a rare occasion or a rare topic to speak about or a rare experience. Something that is really something that you automatically are constantly experiencing every day and every moment of your existence. It's just how aware of it are you. So I'm writing a book about what we're talking about right now.
Hey, there you go. And,
yeah, great. And I'm taking a lot of the research on swine flu. I'm figuring that if I put on all this research, all the things that I'm finding out about what we're not hearing in the mainstream media about the swine flu and especially the swine flu vaccine, it's one of these things that will just be like a major alarm clock. You say, hey, look, you know, if you really want to understand the depth of conflicts of interest, quote unquote conspiracy, and just really inner societal turmoil analogous to a sort of major cancer, then take what is being said about the swine flu and the swine flu vaccine and look around right now, because it's happening right now. And you can look and see, and you have your hardcore evidence right there, and you can really have a good idea, a really good perspective on just how deep and just how true and quote-unquote real things are.
If I may real quick say that to follow up for that, if you want a real silver bullet, go to Don's website, directlightproductions.com. Look and check out where he posts the IBM document for upper-level management in France. Came out in
2006.
Thank you, Don. And it covers what they're going to do for a flu that was anticipated years down the road and how they anticipated the waves and the intervals between the waves of the strikes of the pandemic as it hits the population. And so, of course, how could they know all that if it's coming from nature and it never happened yet? How could they have such concise plans? That's a silver bullet right there proving the conspiracy.
Oh, it's a smoking cannon is what it is. But Jelani, that, I find that very interesting. And if before you hang up, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line so I can get some contact information.
Okay.
If you would give it to Seth, let's stay in touch.
Okay, yeah, that sounds awesome.
And when your book is finished, we'll have you on the show. How's that?
That sounds great.
we'll help you get it out there.
Great.
We've had some famous authors on this show over the past couple of years. So,
how long have you been running, Mr. Nikoloff?
Well, my show started in June of 2007. I was on another network for about a half a year, and then I moved over to BBS and been here ever since.
Okay.
So, and I write for the Idaho Observer as well. I'm an intuitive investigative journalist.
Intuitive investigative journalist.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I specialize in finding needles in haystacks.
That's really cool.
So
you're a Gnostic.
Yeah. A Gnostic? I wouldn't say I'm a Gnostic, no.
Well, you go straight to the source. If you find the needle in the haystack, that's the quantum level right there.
Well, it's my connection with the Creator that I was referring to earlier. And we all have that. We just need to listen to it. That's the one thing that we don't do. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'll ask you this off the air, but I imagine the connections that you have. Maybe we could see about getting Wesley Snipes on the show. Can you help facilitate that?
Not very likely. Of course, it's a possibility, and who knows, you know. But I'll say at this point right now, not very likely.
Okay, well, if you can point me in the direction of how to contact him, that would be most helpful. I can do the rest of the work.
Sure. Well, you know, I'll speak to him and make sure everything's straight, and then after that, you know, it's all gravy.
Okay, very good. Very good, because he's got a lot of interesting things to say, I'm sure, as well.
Oh, yeah.
How is your dad doing?
Well, I mean, this whole situation with the with the income, with the tax,
right.
Income tax, it's just being, it's becoming more of, I mean, it's playing itself out right now, but it's still in the stages where it's like a, you know, like if you have a bruise and it lingers for a while.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, it's
sure.
Getting better the whole time. It's basically like that. It's still bruised. It's still tender.
It's not, they still don't close that out then.
Well, it's one of these things that, I mean, you know, you can open it, you can keep the case open for as long as you want.
Mm-hmm, right.
As long as you want.
Sure, because it's all vague.
You know, just very other.
You're playing a game where they're the only ones that really know the rules, and they can change the rules on you anytime they want. And this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's the whole income tax thing is ridiculous. That's one of the things that really
un-American.
It really just is like, wow. Yeah, it's completely.
It's in the Communist Manifesto, Giuliani. Do you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Communist Manifesto, which, again, Marx basically just took excerpts from the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, a very old document. And in order to take our country down, create property tax, income tax, control the school system by the government, that's our public schools today, make divorce easy so you can split the family up. Take God out of everything. Promote homosexuality as normal. Flood the country with drugs. Don, am I missing anything?
No. Well,
you said over this in the Communist Manifesto?
Yes.
Yeah.
How far did they get? That's the kind of trouble we're in.
Yeah.
There's a dark cloud over our country, but it's red, as in communist. And fascist, too. If you want, you can go on Google. Now, pass this around to your friends. Just go on Google and do a search, and all you type in for the string is swastika building at U.S. Navy base. Swastika building at U.S. Navy base. Look up at the first image that comes up. And you'll see a satellite a top-down view of a swastika building at Coronado Navy Base off of San Diego. And so the Nazis are here, too. There's no difference between them. So we can't get hung up on, you know, the commies and the Nazis, because there's only a hair's breadth difference between them. The end result's the same. Dictatorships, police state, no middle class, no freedoms. Where are your papers? And so it's exactly the same in the end result. And this is how far they got.
And it's really organized crime, you know.
Yeah.
All their methods are based upon the tenets of organized crime.
Right.
Very simple.
They are the organized crime, really.
Yeah. Well, Jelani, this has been a very interesting call.
Before I get off, I just have one very interesting question that's still having a little bit of trouble understanding myself.
Okay.
How is it that these people, you know, Bilderbergers, whoever profits from the spread of disease, how is it that they would be safe? I mean, if we're dying from it, if I'm susceptible to death from it, why wouldn't they be?
Well, first of all, there are different ways that they spread the disease, okay? They spread it, they spread the medium to facilitate disease through the foods that you buy, packaged foods, processed foods. They spread it through water. They spray it in the air. It's called chemtrails. You've seen the patterns in the skies over Atlanta and other parts of Georgia, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and any other place you've been in the country, and this is all over the world that's going on. I've posted pictures on my website. One of my frequent guests, Ken Adachi, has a treasure trove of chemtrail photos. Cliff Carnicom has made a career out of studying the issue. And then we have pharmaceutical companies toxifying our bodies with the so-called medicines. Now, this time they want to get it directly into our bloodstream so they can avoid this by avoiding the vaccine, by hiding out in their underground bases or in their castles, on their islands, in their secluded areas, on the public lands that they've snatched away from people all around the world. This is not something that's just peculiar or singular to the United States. It goes on all over the world. And, I mean, those are just a few of the methods. They avoid the things that they know they've created for us. They never partake of those things, you see. So, and they can afford the prices of the high-ticket items that they eat or consume because they own the companies that make these things, you see. And they steal all of our money in the process of making us sick.
And it's a great question that we all eventually, realize as we start to unravel and figure things out and get a good perspective of the true reality we're living in. And you say, son of a gun. Like, I remember when I see GW when he was eating some hot dogs, and I'm like, doesn't that guy know that hot dog is laced with, you know, crap? And yet he's eating it. And then you wonder, like, when Rumsfeld, who was the guy that got aspartame in all our foods and had the FDA accept it, when he goes out and eats anywhere, does he say, make sure there's no aspartame in anything? Make sure there's, and now with aspartame, because these guys are so low life, they don't have to label aspartame as an ingredient anymore if it's already, say, in something called broth. If
what is it?
They can
something
put it in the
what?
Broth, and the broth is the only thing listed on the ingredient. So when Rumsfeld's out eating, does he say, make sure it doesn't have any broth in it or this or that? And so they must be, to some degree, getting exposed to those kind of toxins and poisons that they're saturating our food supplies with. But when it comes to, like, the swine flu, something serious like that, I'm sure that none of them are getting any of the shots they intend that we should have.
Well, yeah, they publicly even admitted they're not going to get them.
That tells you everything.
Well, one thing that I was listening to when I was listening to Dr. Horowitz, he was saying that this specific virus could mutate and basically be spread simply by coughing and sneezing. And that would be one of the main methods of depopulation to take out, you know, even people that aren't getting the vaccine. Are still susceptible just by being in the vicinity of anybody who's sick with the stuff from the vaccine.
Yeah, listen to my show tomorrow night. I'm going to do a recapitulation of some of what I brought out with Dr. H. Watt last night, and I'm going to talk about, I'm going to describe one of the patents. There's a particular doctor, Dr. Henry Nyman, that's set up websites and has been trying to debunk the truth. I brought that up in my introduction tonight. And
I remember.
He actually founded a company that makes millions of dollars by selling the technology that he's developed to the pharmaceutical companies. And there's a description of how this stuff replicates, okay? He has a website called Recombinomics.com. In fact, I referenced Christopher Story's article. Christopher exposes this website as a CIA Dachau DVD website, the Deutsche Verteidigungsdienst, which is the remnants of the Nazis' SS organization, okay, run by George Herbert Walker Bush. This is in my research also. You'll find some interesting reading on my articles page. Go to directlightproductions.com, click on articles, and have your way with a lot of mind-blowing research.
Excellent.
I touch upon many of these things. You'll get a feel for who's doing it, because these people are doing it today, now, in real time, you see?
Yeah.
And in the process of researching their genealogies, I also debunked much of the history that's been written, which conflicts with what they've put in the history books, what we've been taught in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Do you get into, like, Atlantis and things of that nature, Lemuria?
Oh, well, I talk about that on other shows. I haven't written about that for the Idaho Observer, but we do talk about that on this show. And we will have some upcoming shows where we will be talking about those very topics.
We are really the new Atlanteans.
Yeah, or the new Lemurians.
Well, where we are, we're more Atlanteans.
but I mean in philosophy.
They both had a lot of common at both highlights of their civilizations.
Yeah. Jelani, you were going to say?
Yeah, how do I listen to your show tomorrow night?
Same way you're listening to it tonight. Are you listening on a
computer? Okay, through BBS? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, go to BBS Radio. I'm on Station 1.
Cool.
Okay. Now, before you hang up, make sure you give that information to Seth, okay?
Yeah, I may need to call him back.
Stay on the line. He'll take you off the air, but you'll be on the line with him. You called into the network, so he just has to come on the line off the air, okay?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right, call in again, too.
Yeah. Thanks for speaking with me. I really appreciate that. I got a smile from ear to ear now. Excellent to speak with you guys.
Okay. Pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure. God bless.
Say hello to your father. Give him our best, by the way.
Oh, most definitely. I really appreciate that, too. It definitely helps. Definitely.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Nicholas and Mr. Anthony.
All right, you take care.
All right, peace.
All right. Well, Michael, see, we get some interesting calls into the show from time to time.
Yes, absolutely. That was fun.
He sounds like a very nice man and
definitely
very, very awake.
Yep. We need more Americans like that throughout our whole country. That's what it's going to take to turn this country around. We need strong, individual, American, smart thinking. When you're individualistic, you're thinking, because that's what individualism is. You're thinking. You're a self-thinking being. And through that process, we get smart, and then next thing you know, we got a bunch of smart Americans again, and our country's back on track looking good. And that's all there is to turning this around. And I don't see any other way but homeschooling for sure to ensure that with all the young kids so they're not being brainwashed most of the time of the day while they're away from home in these government school systems.
Yeah.
You know, Don, I would love to see homeschooling get organized where ultimately there's so much of it around available where the parents can say, hey, I'll send my kids to that homeschool. And then eventually we won't have the public schools anymore, but then we'll retake over the property that we really own because we're paying the school tax money to build it all. And then we just engulf it all into the home school system. And then we've got original American schooling back in place again. We took it all back. And I see, you know, if we could only get homeschooling organized and operating at such a level like that, where it's becomes a strong infrastructure, that it's well established the parents will be sending the kids there, the government schools will fall flat on their face. Goodbye school tax. And then, of course, we'll pay a smaller, much more reasonable tax to keep the homeschools going.
Oh, yeah. You can give a student, a child, or a child an education, but a college student can go to school for somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically to pay for the materials. I'm not saying that money even has to come out of the student's pocket. That there is a way for a community to set up a school, and at the most $2,000, so you can keep the doors open.
Yeah, well, you know, all those details can be worked out once we get that far, because we always have to ensure that there's individual responsibility behind everything. And if you want it, you have to earn it. And that's fine and good, but it has to be level playing field. Everything has to be honest and as simple and efficient as possible, so the cost is affordable to more and more. That's the American way of doing things. But you always have to earn everything. You just can't give things away because, you know, if you don't earn it, it's really not yours. And whether it's something materialistic or if it's something intellectual, you'll never really, the mind will really never open, expand, and the awareness grow if you're not striving to make it grow. And that means you're thinking. You're applying energy into thought processes. That means you're grabbing books, anything with information related to what it is you want to know. And all that's self-motivated effort. You're earning it. What it is you eventually know, you earned. Nobody's taking that from you. And so no matter what we do, we have to make sure everything's really functioning along that principle. But then any other kind of assistance, sure. As long as it's fair, honest, and reasonable, sure, we're all for that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we covered a lot of topics tonight, didn't we?
Yes, I think we did, yeah.
Well, we're out of time, Michael, but we got another month coming, and with another month comes a new schedule, and with a new schedule come new guests and new bookings and new shows, and likely you'll be with us again in November, I hope.
Don, well, I appreciate it, and I very much look forward to it. Thanks.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and thank you for the work you're doing. We didn't go into much of a discussion about herbs tonight, and I want to...
Next time.
I encourage listeners, if they want to check out Michael's private stock, go to directlightproductions.com, click on sponsors, look for Michael Anthony. And you can find out some other things that Michael does as well. And we're waiting on your new recording. So,
thank you, Don. And I'm being diligent about getting back on it now that the seasons have changed and I've got opportunity to spend more time inside. And so I'm real excited, pal, and I'm looking forward to getting some material into your hands in the near future. Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll feature it on the show here, too.
Oh, great. Thanks, Don.
Okay.
Look forward to it.
Well, you have yourself a good night's sleep. You earned it.
Thank you, Don. You too, pal. You always do, too. Thank
you. And I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints.
Thanks again, Don.
Okay. Well, folks, it's time to say good night. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks go out to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. Tomorrow night's guest is none other than the former U.S. Marine, Drew Malone Raines III. He'll be on the show. I will be on Republic Broadcasting Network on Dr. True Ott's show, which is called The Story Behind the Story, for 2 hours tomorrow. From I'm going to give you the Eastern times and the Pacific times, and then you can kind of figure it out from there. From 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern or 11 to 1 Pacific time, 2 hours on RBN. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Doesn't cost anything to listen to that show, and you just go to the webpage and click on the Listen Live button, and that should take you right there. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, and he's my secretary tonight, getting all that information from Jelani Assar, Dubois Snipes. And also, I'd like to thank everyone out there in the listening audience for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.